Technically, I have about 15 minutes for the teaching today, so we're going to see what God does, okay? And I have a whole book of the Bible that we're going to make our way through. So, Colossians 3, we're going to go through and continue our Firm Foundation series, but before we do that, I want everybody to grab that shiny Ziploc bag that's on your seat, and we're going to talk about this for a second. Good, make some noise with it. Have fun. All right, listen. Anybody know how many days there are till Easter? 28. Shout it out if you know. 28 days. 28 days till Easter. 4 weeks. 4 weeks to invite your peeps. Ah. Hey, listen, I didn't figure it out. I didn't do it. It's just we want you to make sure that you take these invites that are inside this shiny Ziploc bag. You can do whatever you want with the marshmallow in there. I know what I'm going to do with my marshmallow. I'm going to give it to somebody that likes them, and then I'm going to judge them. Okay? Because they're not great, okay? So, but this is what I want you to do with the invite. I want you to extend it to somebody. Every single one of these invites, every single one has been prayed over. Every single one has been prayed that once it leaves your hand, God's going to do what he does. That the seed that's been planted, he's then going to make sure that it's fruitful in some way, shape, or form. And you may think, oh, I'm going to extend this invitation. They may not attend. That's okay. But they might attend 6 months from now. They might attend 6 weeks from now. They might attend when their worst day of their life does hit. And they're at the end of their rope. And they remember that invitation that they got from you and they hung on their fridge. They might remember. So it is not your job to think about everything that can possibly go into the invitation. It's your job to extend it. It's his job to do the rest. So, as you open your Ziploc bag, and you get it in and you get your invite.
Oh. They're not good, it's okay.
I could have went south. I want you to extend the invite. I want you to say, hey, this invite's not enough. I'm going to go get more. Take a picture of it. Send it out. Let God do what he's going to do with it. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for who you are, who we get to be. Lord, as we extend these invitations to invite people into your house, God, may people receive the invitation with joy and with excitement because they've been yearning for something and they don't know what they've been yearning for, but it's you. Lord, they've been searching for answers to questions and they don't know where to find them. You know. Lord, may we have an understanding that we have what people are searching for. And the answer's in an invite. So Lord, as we extend them, give us the faith to not lead with a no. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. So as we continue our Firm Foundation series today, we're going to kick off with the verses that we've been reading every single week, and that's out of Colossians 2. Verses 6 through 7, and it reads, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Listen, I've been so excited about today's teaching because today's teaching is what we get to receive from all the other teachings that we've had the past few weeks. And listen, there was a heaviness in worship during the first worship experience. There was a little bit of a heaviness during worship and people walking in during the second worship experience. And listen, there's joy present. There was excitement present. There was worship present. But I believe that there was a little bit of a, oh, what's going to happen? And here's why I think I was sensing that. It's because today is the day where the rubber has to hit the road. Colossians 1, you know, we get to hear from Paul, and he's talking about, here we go, the thanksgiving and how thankful he is in his prayer for all of us. And then we get to hear how Christ is superior. Remember the supreme pizza? You get everything that he has to offer. That's great. That's wonderful. I like that. Yeah, give me that. Then we get to all the stuff that Paul does for the church. That's great. I like that. Then we get to hear all about the freedom from the rules that we don't have to follow in Colossians 2. That's great. Then we get to hear about this new life. Wonderful. Keep preaching that. And then we get to Colossians 3. It's time to live it. It's time to walk it out. It's time for everything that you experience inside these walls for people to see it outside. Ruh-roh. It's time for you to practice not only what you may be preaching, but what is being preached. Oh. I'm not saying it's time for you to become perfect. It's time for you to really start to practice chasing after the one who is. Because you will never be, I will never be, we will never be perfect. Ever. We'll become more and more and more and more and more mature in Christ. More like him. So as we grow, as we walk in the things of God that we're going to talk about in Colossians 3 today, I want you to know that this is a lot about us practicing what we preach, walking in it. I want us to be overflowing in the things of God. If we invite people into this place and we say, there's peace present there. I want it to be overflowing. If we say that there's joy present there, I want it to be overflowing. I don't want them to walk in and there just be a little bit. Imagine going to Chick-fil-A. They're like, listen, we ran out of chicken, but we still have some waffle fries, but we're almost out. If we say that there are there's a children's ministry that's overflowing with kids that love Jesus and love being together and love being in the presence of their teachers and all. Guess what they better experience when they walk in here? Kids that love being here and love being around their teachers and love being around each other and love inviting their friends. If we say all these things better be overflowing out of us. And guess where else it better be overflowing out of us? Outside of here. If you walk outside of these walls and go outside of that door and anyone that works at Plaza Azteca sees that you just walked out of here and you walk over there, you better be overflowing with joy. You better be overflowing with peace. You better be overflowing with his presence and you better be overflowing with a generous tip. I'm being serious because people see who you are. And that's what draws people closer. Let's go ahead and look at the benefits that we're going to talk about in Colossians 3. What do we receive from this new life that joyfully is being given to us? We get to receive the understanding that we're to put to death our old self. That's what we're going to talk about today. Jesus didn't come so that you could have a good life. Jesus came to get you to kill your old life. Jesus didn't come to give you life. Jesus came to kill you. Now, I understand that sometimes you can hear that and you might take it out of context. My niece, who was about 10 at the time, heard me say that, went home, told her parents, hey, Uncle Nick said that Jesus wants to kill me. My brother-in-law called my mother-in-law and said, hey, what did Nick say at church today? And she's like, well, he did say that. But this is what he meant. He's like, okay, that makes sense. Now I could walk her through that, like, when she goes to sleep tonight. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus wants the old you to be gone. Not for you to be like, okay, it's Friday. Old me's going out. I'll put old me back on Sunday. It's just a guy's trip. We're going golfing. I'm picking the old me up at the turn. Or the old me is going to meet us at the 19th hole. Okay, isn't there 18 holes in golf? Yeah, the 19th hole is the bar for those of you who are slow. Catching up, okay? The old you should be gone. Oh, the old me's going on a girl's trip to Deep Creek. Either you've killed the old you, or the old you gets picked up every once in a while. Put on your new nature. Listen, you got some new clothes. Start wearing them. I love seeing people walk around in there when they get their new Bridge City hoodie. I love it. You know what I love even more? When somebody becomes an usher and they get the button down. Because you can't buy those. You can't buy those. If you put those on, that means something. You're putting something on that represents the house of the Lord, and you're creating an environment of excellence. You're doing the same thing you put a Bridge City hoodie on. What else do you have to do in this new life of joy? You put Jesus first in all of your relationships. How does Jesus work in this, in your marriage, in your being a father or mother, in your friendships, in everything? How is Jesus functioning in every relationship in your life? As an employer or as an employee, as a student, as a child, how's Jesus telling you to be respectful to your parents? We're going to talk about that today. Listen, Jesus is Lord over everything in your life. He's the boss. In Colossians 3 and 4, Paul mentions this and says this statement, says Lord over, it appears 12 times. He wants us to catch this, that you are absolutely owned by God. He's the boss. He's it. He's supreme. So let's read in Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. This place is temporary. Where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Set your sights on where you're going, not where you're at. Get a new perspective. See things differently. Have an eternal perspective. The things that you used to think mattered don't matter anymore. The things that you used to desire, you shouldn't desire anymore. There's a lot of things that you're not going to take to heaven, and there's a lot of things that you're worrying about that when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you about. Let me give you an example. God's not going to ask me about, hey, Lennon was scootering in the house. Good thing he didn't mess up the rug. I have to remind myself all the time that I need to have an eternal perspective. Do I react perfectly? Absolutely not. 100% no. What is God going to ask me about? Hey, how did you conduct yourself? How did you act? How did you react? Not every situation, but everything collectively as a whole. You have to have an eternal perspective about everything. Am I going to answer to God for this? Everything. Have an eternal perspective in your marriage, in your raising your children, in your friendships, in your workplace, in your school. Set your sights on heaven. Verses 3 and 4, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden in Christ, in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Here's a picture of this. Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father, pleading your case. Just like a judge and a lawyer pleading your case, Sean. Hey, God, listen, Sean's a great guy. He's a great guy. He's wonderful. I'm walking with him. I'm encouraging him. I'm empowering him. I'm equipping him. I'm challenging him. I know there used to be stuff, but I covered it. Let's take this home a little bit, okay? Let's have some fun with this. This is Jesus. All right, everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it louder.
Jesus.
All right, this is you. Everybody say you.
You.
Or me.
Me.
Or us.
Us.
Okay, we're picking which one, okay? Now listen, this is just for pretending purposes. I'm going to be God. Okay, just because we need to do this. Okay? I'm not going to say he's God. Okay, we got this? Okay.
Jesus.
Me, us, you. Okay. Ready? You ready for this? It's exciting. This is really exciting stuff. Here, I'm going to get up here. Rain the lights. You ready? Hi, Jesus. God doesn't even see you anymore. He sees Jesus when he looks at you. He sees what his son did on the cross for you. He sees all that he covered for you, for me, for us. He doesn't see your stuff anymore. He doesn't see the stuff anymore. He sees Jesus first, and Jesus covers you. You're hidden in Jesus. Sorry. Hey, yo. I know, you're allowed to be. He was hidden in the Word of God. Here, come on, look. It's not going to come out. Patrick loves playing catch. All right, you can keep it. Here, one more. I'm going to make you so proud. That's Coach Matt, loves soccer. Do you get what the Word of God is telling you? The old you is dead. The new you is hidden in Christ. Walk in it. The world's going to throw you around. The world's going to beat you up. You're going to get kicked. Stay hidden in Him. How do we put to death our old self? Verses 5 through 6. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and these evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. Put to death, corpse-like, lifeless, to regard as dead. I love the last one. Inoperative. Kill it. Don't just put it in a cage and let it hang out. And say, okay, come on, it's Friday. You good? Let's go. Kill it. All right, here, I'm going to give you an example, okay? You like example time? All right, I'm a visual learner, so I like to hear things. I have a shed in my backyard, okay? We had some groundhogs living under the shed, okay? Right? And they're evasive, okay? Groundhogs moved out. Some raccoons, they dabbled in the area of the shed. They were back there, okay? I don't think they fully moved in. They were just hanging out. They dipped. Then this nice little skunk family moved in. Okay? Winston, our wonderful dog, got sprayed not once, but twice. We tried to help him figure out that the black and white cats don't want to play with him. But that's a whole nother illustration. The skunks, I needed help getting rid of them. Do you see where I'm going here? There are things in your life that you may need help getting rid of. You may need to call somebody or go to your connection group or go to your pastor and say, hey, listen, there's this thing in my life that I need to kill off once and for all. So once I called this person and said, hey, I need help get rid of this skunk, a trap was dropped off. They told me skunks only like white bread. They like a certain kind of peanut butter, blah, 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 blah. Right? They told me this stuff. We worked on it. The skunk did not show up, did not show up, did not show up, did not show up. So I worked with him. He worked with me. We continued to identify what kind of skunks I had, figured out that my skunks liked rye bread and jelly. Skunk is now unalived. Okay? Okay, sorry for the skunk lovers that we have in the room. Okay? We worked it out. We figured it out. The skunk was removed from my house, and the family that he had with, they're gone. Winston could not be more proud and happy. He walked around as if he did it. Okay, now he just wants a bunny rabbit more than anything in the world. He chases them around. Almost chased one into the house the other night. Okay. You need help getting rid of some of the things in your life to make them inoperative. Sometimes you can't kill things by yourself. Bring it to the light, and the darkness has no power. Then the groundhogs move back. They're cute, though. We like that. They're really nice. And when Winston chases after them, they just go back into their house because they're scared of Winston. Right, Sean? Yeah, Winston thinks he's a big dog. He's got a heart of a lion. Colossians 3, 7 through 9. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now it's time to get rid of anger, rage, malice behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Get rid of them. Take off the old garment and throw it out. oh, I'm just saving it. Wait, oh, I'm just saving it. Because you know what? That person, I remember what they did to me, and let me see them in traffic. Let me see them in a dark alley. Oh, I'm just going to get them. Oh, I got 19 years of flesh just built up. I'm let it all out. Get rid of it. You don't need anger anymore. You don't need malice behavior. You don't need those things anymore. Get rid of it. Rachel helps me with this all the time. She's like, oh, you're being spicy. I am not spicy. I am spicy sometimes. But she helps me to understand the importance of getting rid of stuff. I'm going to be real with you in church today. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Okay, just this side of the room. They don't want it. Okay. No, okay. You want it? Here we go. I lost everything in my life as a kid. I don't have baby pictures. I don't have anything from when I grew up. Everything was lost. I have things that people had sent me, people found, but everything else was lost. I have like one picture of my dad and I, just one. No pictures of my mom and I. Nothing. Gone, lost. So whenever I started to get things of my own, I started to keep everything. Every Christmas card, every picture, every note that Rachel ever wrote me, kept it all. Everything. I didn't become a hoarder, but things that were sentimental to me, I kept. And this started to transfer to other areas of my life as well. And Rachel would like throw things away. Once we got married, she would throw things away like when I wasn't home, so I wouldn't see it. Which was good. I told her to do it. I'm like, babe, just throw it away so I don't know, and I'll figure it out one day. But it hit other areas of my life too. I'm half the man I used to be. I lost a lot of weight over the last 13 years. And Rachel would be like, Nick, you don't need this hoodie anymore. You're not gonna get to a point where you're gonna need this 4X hoodie. And it's beat. Throw it away. You don't need these pants. There's not going to be a someday that you magically gain 175 pounds. Throw them away. I'm like, well, just in case. We do this with our lives too. We keep things that Jesus wants us to leave at the foot of the cross and get rid of it once and for all. And you need people that are going to help you do it. Start walking with people differently. Start walking around people that are going to help you not want to cuss anymore. I love being around people that apologize to me when they swear. I'm like, you're good. Let's hang out more and you won't do it anymore. But I love it. If people are swearing around me, I know I'm hanging around the right people. I mean it. Get rid of it. Verses 10 through 11. Put on your new nature. You're about to get some new clothes. You know, I love shopping at the mall. Now, I don't shop a lot, but I love being able to go into a store and just buy something. I got some new clothes whenever I lost weight, and everybody, wow, you lost a lot of weight. No, I just finally have clothes that fit. I have 3 blazers. I didn't even buy them. They were given to me. You look really nice. Those new clothes look nice. Thank you. When you start wearing new clothes and clothes that fit you, people notice. People are going to notice when you start walking in this new nature outside of these walls. And you know what? To some people, it's going to be a sweet aroma. To others, it's going to, yeah. And that's okay. That's a promise that God spoke. And guess what? Some of those people that are like, eh, one day they're going to come to you. And that eh is going to be like, eh, I'll give it a shot. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, a slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Put on the new nature. Clothe yourself. Time to get dressed up. Everybody remember, if you're from around here, going to Kennywood for your Kennywood picnic? I don't know why you would get like a Kennywood outfit to go to Kennywood to get it all messed up. I don't remember. I don't know why. I don't know why you also had to match people to go to Kennywood. I don't, it's not a thing anymore, I don't think, but it used to be a thing.
No, it's still a thing.
Is it still a thing? It's not as big of a thing as it was when I was there. I mean, we were fly. I was just at a few of the school picnics. It is not a thing anymore. It was a thing. We were fresh. Huh? Listen, I had some FUBU outfits. I did. This baby blue joint. An Averex jacket. I had a WooWear leather jacket, 3/4. Huh? Because Wu-Tang's forever. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17, just to take this point further. You're new. You just didn't start walking with some behavior modification. You're new. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. Not just locked up for Friday nights. Or put away for vacation time. Or just for whenever you're with those old friends. A new life has begun. And when new life begins, you have to learn things. Grow in things. Listen, I just had this happen during prayer. Does everybody in this room know their full legal name? If you do, say yes.
Yes.
Does everybody in this room know your full birth date? If you do, say yes.
Yes.
I almost failed a grade in elementary school because I did not know my full birthday based upon the school standards. I did not know that my birthday was December 26, 1984. When they said, "What's your birthday?" I said, "The day after Christmas." And they called my mom in, and they said, "Mrs. Stepanovic, Nicholas doesn't know his birthday." And she said, "He most certainly does. It's the day after Christmas." And they said, "We know the problem." And they said, "Nicholas, what is your birthday, like month, day, and year?" I said, "December 26, 1984. They're like, "Are you good?" Anyways, does everybody in this room, don't shout it out, but do a majority of the people in this room know your Social Security number off by heart, or you could find it pretty quickly? Okay, do you know your parents' names?
Yes.
Do you have an idea of their birth date and when they were born and where they were born?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what the Bible says about you?
Yes.
Do you know the verses and where they're at and how to find them?
No.
Do you know your life verse? Here we go. This just happened. I was like, what's our spiritual Social Security number? We need to know our identity. I was like, listen, if we're going to start, everybody's first three digits of their Social Security number should be 316. Right? That's your first three. John 3:16. One of my life verses is Psalm 62:2. Right? For he is my rock, my fortress, my salvation, I will never be shaken. I was like, I hope this works. And I started typing down numbers. So I put down 62:2. And then I was like, not only are my life verses is Galatians 1:10, for I'm in this to serve Christ, not man. If I was, I wouldn't be Christ's servant. I was like, please let it work. Please let it work. 1:1:0. So my heaven social security number is 316-622-110. I put that down. I don't know what yours is. I hope somebody listens to this one day and they're like, oh, I'll put that down, Nicholas Joseph. You need to know your identity. Everybody in here knows what size shirt they wear. Some of you know what size suit you wear. Some of you know your pants size. You know your shoes. You know what size boots you wear. You know if you need a wide shoe or a narrow shoe. You know everything. Some of you just look to your wife and say, hey, what size do I wear? Like, but you know. We struggle in our identity with Jesus. We need to know these things. Let's keep going. 12 through 14. Since God chose you, everybody say chose.
Chose.
You weren't a mistake. You weren't an accident. You weren't an afterthought. He picked you. How do we put on our new nature? We have to understand that he chose us to be his holy people, that he loves. He loves us. We have to clothe ourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you. Wow. That one cuts. Why is it so hard for us to forgive other people when he freely forgives? So you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. Listen, you start wearing all this, you'll be dressed to the nines. Some of you are like, what does that mean? You fly. What does that mean? I don't know. What do the kids say now? Second row, I'm looking to you. Huh? If you're, oh yeah, you got drip? Man, you ain't a kid. Drip, was it drip? You got drip? You don't say that no more. What's it say?
Fire.
Fire? No, that's old too. Tough? That's tough? Tough came back? Sick. Nice. Tough came back. Huh?
T-U-F-F.
Tough. We spelled it. No. Ayo. Listen, you start wearing this stuff, people are going to notice. People are going to notice. Every generation had something that people looked at like, oh, I want that. I want to wear that. I want to wear that. You start walking around with all these things, people notice. They notice that there's something different about you. When you start to walk in your new nature, you let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other in all of his wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever you do, know that he sent you. You're representing him in everything. You're going to start to walk clothed in your new nature. guess what? I know we say if you're wearing a Bridge City hoodie, at least be nice. If you're going to wear this, people are going to recognize and they're going to know and you're going to be walking in it all the days of your life, and you need to walk accordingly. Because you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Ever. Remember the invites? If you're going to extend this invite and you're still wearing some old, nasty spiritual clothes, get freshened up first. Put on your new nature. Make sure that if you're going to extend this, people want what you're inviting them to. People don't want perfect, they want pure-hearted. People don't want to think that they need to get right before they get here. Make sure you're clothed in your new nature fully. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I'm excited for our new clothes. I'm excited for the compassion and kindness we get to walk in. I'm excited for the humility and gentleness. I'm excited for the patience and forgiveness you get. I'm excited for love and for peace. But it's just like learning how to tie a tie. I never knew how to do that. My dad worked in the mill for 35 years. I needed somebody else to teach me how to tie a tie. So how do we stay connected? All right, we're going to teach people how to stay connected to Jesus. Everybody's wondering what happened. The whole like front row, something fell from the sky and almost hit Rachel, and they're wondering what's fallen, and it was a hair tie that shot up in the air. So there you go. Okay. We're going to stay connected with Jesus. That's how you start to walk in your new clothes. How do you start to walk in your new clothes so everybody can see it? You let the Word of God dwell in your heart. There's some things that have been in your heart that it started to take root over and over and over and over and over again. And you might need somebody else to come and help you remove those things. Remember the skunks? I wasn't going to get rid of those things by myself. I needed new things to take root under the shed. Groundhogs are back. They're super cute. They're good. But you got to let the word of the Lord dwell in your heart. You all knew your birthday. You all knew your full name. You all knew your social security number or knew where to find it. What's the word of God say about you? And is it in there? Or do you just know that it exists? Transforming relationships. The first transforming relationships that you got to start, it's not a friendship with anybody else other than Jesus. He's the one that transforms us. He's the one that changes us. He's the one. That takes us from where we were to where he wants us to be. So if you don't have that day, that time, that place where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let today be your day. Let today be your day that you begin that transformation process. You instantly become justified. You instantly become righteous. You instantly become hidden in Christ. But you start getting transformed, sanctified. If you don't have that day, that time, that place, let today be that day. And I'm going to ask you to do something so brave. The hardest thing you'll ever do, but the best thing you'll ever do. Just slip your hand up to heaven and say, God, that's me. I don't have that day, that time where I've repented of my past, received your forgiveness, and accepted you as Lord and leader into my future. I don't have that day. I don't have that time. But I know that I need that transformational moment to start. Anyone at all today? May we begin to put Jesus first in all of our relationships. And may that be how we walk out of this place, knowing that verses 18 through 21 are how we do that. It means for wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, that means to always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. And fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Father God, I thank you so much for today. Lord, I thank you for the marching orders that you give us in Colossians 3, and you show us how to walk in our new nature. Lord, I thank you that you will help us put to death our old self. May we walk in that every single day, knowing that we are a new creature in you, and that the old is gone and the new has begun. In Jesus' name.